Open up again to John chapter 8. I'm going to lay a little foundation before we get into what the Holy Spirit wants to talk about tonight. How many of you know we're coming into revival? A real revival, a kind that's not been seen for about 2,000 years, where it's not just words spoken, but it's demonstration of the Spirit in power. Amen? And on our journey, we're finding out. When I say this, it seems odd. But like last week, did I say turn to John 8? Okay, John 8. Let's look at verse 12 again. This verse was in my Bible all during the years that I sat in a denominational church, and they would read it occasionally. I don't know if they really talk about it much. I don't remember. All I know is, we didn't live this verse. We didn't even think it was possible to live this verse. But Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. We didn't have any problem with that. But this part, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And none of the preachers that I ever sat under in that denomination, they love God. They're going to be in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. None of them would ever say directly like, well, that's just not possible. You know, they wouldn't say it like that. But they might read it, but in the course of either that message or if you continue going, eventually you're going to wind up with this understanding. You're still just an old sinner. You're saved. You're forgiven. But at your core, you're still just an old sinner, and nobody can not walk in darkness. I mean, that's the way. They wouldn't actually use those words, but that's what they were preaching. Well, those of you that have followed us on the First John journey, how many of you found out Jesus was serious? I toyed with the title on that lesson last week, like, why so serious? But anyway. But he was serious. He was completely serious. And you don't have to turn there. I'll do it. I know right where it is here, I think. But like when we went to 1 John, it didn't take very long either to find out that he is not kidding. Because John, 50, 60 years later, is still preaching the same truth that he heard from Jesus as a young man. So Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John, right in the first chapter of his epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Jesus was completely serious. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed, and he's talking about free from sin, he was completely serious. Well, as we found that out, my own walk, which was already pretty narrow, just to be honest with you, is pretty narrow. Let's go back 10 years and narrower. Go back 20 years, way narrower. Let's don't even talk about 30 years ago, okay? But I'm telling you, even though it was pretty narrow, it got narrower yet. Because we found out he is serious about this. Well, now last week we went, and let's go with me over to, we'll review quickly, Mark 11. Because last week he was emphasizing that he's just as serious about these words as he was about not walking in darkness. He's absolutely serious. So last week we looked at Mark 11, starting in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And Jesus demonstrated that for us all the time. He's the prototype. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one we're to look to understand how sons. Now again, when I say sons of God, you ladies are just as much sons as any hairy-legged guy. Okay, in Christ there's neither male nor female. So he intends for us to function the way he functioned. Now, last week we emphasized what we say. Jesus is absolutely serious about this. We have got to come to the place where we believe. what we say comes to pass. Now, why does it come to pass? Because the Holy Spirit is co-laboring with your speaking. That's why it starts off, have faith in God. Say, well, I spoke and it didn't move. Could it be a problem with having faith in God? What is it in you that doesn't believe the Holy Spirit will move when you speak? Now, from last week, that's where we were last week. What I've brought again is the February letter from Dave Roberson Ministries. And even now, as you're listening or watching to this video, if you want to get a copy of it where you can read along with us, you go to daveroberson.org. On the home page, you go to the left margin. One of the headings there is teaching letters. You click on that. Then the page that opens, you just click on February. And you'll be looking at the same document that I'm looking at right here. Now, I'm going to read 15b, which is on page 4, if you've got a printed copy. Page 4, this is where we ended last week. Well, we're also going to do 16. We also did 16. But when it comes to what you say, he says in 15b here, page 4, now, what this is, for those that are listening, these are present hour speakings. This is the Holy Spirit revealing the mind of Christ to us in our generation. So he says, when my word is spoken by my sons, ladies, raise your hand. Hello, sons. When my word is spoken by my sons, it's on page 4, okay? It is as the command of my own lips. Did you hear that? Now, get this. He doesn't have any lips but yours. How is he going to speak on planet Earth today if it's not through the lips of his body? It is as the life from my own lips. And then he says, for it is. We are his body on the earth. All that is of truth has come from me, the God of all truth. My word, my truth is eternal and is an eternal force, an eternal authoritative force. It is the verbal unction of the Father and is full of my power. Now notice, by the work of my Spirit. You remember, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Jesus didn't sneak back to that fig tree in the middle of the night with nobody watching with an axe and chop around the roots of that tree. No, all he did was speak the word. But the Holy Spirit did the work. You got that? It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Revival is going to be not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. We have got to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. Well, part of that co-laboring is speaking. Now I'm going to read 16 again on page 4. To walk in my fullness is to understand the fellowship of my Spirit that you have been called to. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now get this. This is the fullness you are called to. This is the fullness. Just go to, for a witness from the word, go to John 14 real quick. And again, Jesus is just as serious about John 14 as he was John chapter 8 and Mark chapter 11. He's serious about this. So John 14, starting in verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, these next two, have faith in God, he said. What if we had faith in these next two verses? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he virtually repeats himself in the next verse. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's pretty strong. Isn't that strong? He is just as serious about that as he is us not walking in darkness. Continuing here with what in the present day speakings, he says, this is the fullness that we're called to, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is the fullness you are called to. We are supposed to be going about doing good and in the name of Jesus healing all that are oppressed of the devil. That has a name. It's called revival. Okay? His presence with you is close and permanent. It is constant. Nothing is held back. All has been given to you. Now you are closer than you have ever been to walking in this fullness. But a war must be fought, for the enemy will not go softly. Do not wait, do not wait, do not wait for the appearance of the enemy forces as the signal to go to war. Now see, that's a defensive posture. We're not doing nothing till we see the enemy come. Like we're always waiting for the next attack. Boy, that has been the posture of the church too long. He is putting us on the offensive. Kick down the gate like he did. Every village he came to, if you'll allow me, he kicked down the gates where the prisoners were being held captive by sickness and disease and everything else. He would kick those gates down spiritually and set the captives free. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. He says, as the Lord of armies, my command is go. And as the Lord victorious, my command is go. Go into the land of my glory. Go into the land of my fullness. Go into the land of who you are. Go forth. Take no captives. Leave all evidence of the enemy behind you. You don't need to bring back any captive devils. Just cast them out and send them to dry places. Okay? Now, tonight we're starting 17. And again, this one tonight, as I was meditating, he's talking about John 14, verses 12 through 14 that we just read. He says, your life in me is one of fellowship with my spirit. And I must have sons who will walk in my strength and my might. Why? So that my plans are established in the earth. Do you notice that? God has plans. When we receive one of those here at the prayer center, we call them what? Blueprint. He mentions blueprints here in Lua. He says, my plans are established through the partnership of my sons with my spirit. And then look at the next sentence. There is no other way. There is no other way. If you keep up with the teachings, not only of everybody here at the prayer center, but myself, I keep up with what Bronk is saying and what Dr. Jim Martin is saying, and that people that we, you know, listen to, and we don't call each other, hey, what are you preaching Sunday? You know, we don't do that. I'm telling you, in all cases, it's the same right now. The message is fellowship. The message is intimacy. The message is worship. The message is prayer. The message is fasting. The message is learn to co-labor. It's really more than that. Learn to fellowship. Be intimately acquainted with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And here he says, my plans are established, he means in the earth, through the partnership of my sons with my spirit. There is no other way. You have got it figured out. You yourself can't heal the sick. You got that figured out, right? I'm just real sure Gary has no healing. You know, I can't open the eyes of the blind, but I know someone who can. My job is to get to fellowship and become so intimate that we become one. Yes, sir. And I'll just say this. He is never going to do the speaking for you. He is never going to take that authority for you. You know how he really got that across to me many years ago? It was Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit was already there, hovering over the deep. The Holy Spirit is God as much as God the Father. The Holy Spirit knew God wanted light. The instant God wanted light, the Father wanted light. But he had the power to do it. He's already there in the darkness. He's brooding over the face of the deep. He knew the Father wanted light. He had the power to produce light, but he didn't do it. Why? He's waiting for something. And he's waiting for that spoken word. And the way he said it to me, he said, if I would not make an exception for God the Father, what do you think the odds are I'm going to make an exception for you? And it's not that so much an exception. There just is no other way. That is how he functions. He manifests the spoken word when it's the word of God spoken in faith. Okay. So he says real clear. He said, the call is for fellowship with my spirit. Just in case we don't understand that, the call is to pray. Who would have thought that he would want people at the prayer center to pray? Now, this outpouring, let's say revival, this outpouring is dependent on my sons taking their place in me and walking in the fullness of that spirit within them. This outpouring is dependent on my sons taking their place in fellowship with my spirit. And he says it again, there is no other way. Man can do a lot of things. Man can organize. Man can plan. Man can have. We used to have revival. However often we wanted to in the church I grew up in. Revival. We're going to start Thursday night at 7. We're going to have services twice a day in Sunday night. I have others that you had revivals at your churches. Absolutely. We'd have a guest speaker. And I'm not saying things didn't happen, you know. But I'll tell you what didn't happen. I never saw no blind eyes open. I never saw no maimed person missing a leg walk out with a new one. I never saw any of that. Did you? Now, man can organize. Man can do all kinds of things. But real revival, there is no other way than this co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is, knowledge alone is not enough. Fellowship is required. Intimacy is required. You might as well know this. The services on Wednesday night are already changing. You might as well know this. Church as we have known it is almost over. I don't even know what's going to happen. But I'm excited about what's going to happen. Amen? I don't know. How can you know when you haven't been there before? You know, but I can feel it. Can't you feel it? It's shifting. It's changing. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I'm seeing, I have such reverence for Seymour, the man who God used for the Azusa Street Revival. The pulpit that they had there was a very poor church. The pulpit that they had was really made out of wooden shoeboxes stacked together to make a pulpit. I didn't know that for years. All I knew, I read a book earlier where I didn't know that part, and it said he would often preach with his head in a shoebox. I had a picture of him with a cardboard shoe. I didn't know. No, what they're talking is that pulpit was made out of those shoe boxes, and the open side was on apparently the speaker side. And he would, as the presence of God would come, he'd bow like this. His head would be like almost like literally in a shoe box. But see, as a reason I hesitated just now, the Holy Spirit is showing me Jesus never did that. Even though I have such great respect for Seymour, that is not the revival we're headed towards. We have only one pattern to look at, and his name is Jesus. You don't see him sticking his head in no shoebox. You see him walking erect as the Son of God that he is, in full fellowship with the Father, with the Holy Ghost, and that is you. He is our pattern. And I have great respect. Don't think I don't have respect, but he keeps telling me even the good things that are in my mind from history, I can't pattern what he's about to do based on that. I have to pattern what's about to happen based on Jesus and him alone. Amen? Amen. All right. See, and I'll just go ahead and tell you this, thank God. You know, the repercussions in a good way are still coming from that revival more than 100 years later. But the revival itself was snuffed out there in Azusa. Right? Do you know the building today where it was as a parking lot? It's been paved over. It was snuffed out within a few years. And it was religion that snuffed it out. That's not going to happen. We've had prophecy after prophecy. This one, when it breaks out, will last till Jesus comes. Amen? All right. Back to this. This outpouring is dependent on my sons taking their place in fellowship with my spirit. There is no other way. The mature son is a praying son who is attentive to the voice of my spirit. The mature son is a praying son whom I can call upon in partnership with my spirit to establish my truth in any situation I bring him into through the operation of prayer. I am calling for an increase of prayer. The world, this is number 18, the world will pour into the places where the sons of my love stand. See, that's what happened with Jesus. Although he preached righteousness and holiness and repent and believe the gospel, sinners flocked to him. Isn't that true? Part of it was because of the miracles, but they would flock to him. They're going to flock here, wherever the sons of God, like he says here. Start again. Number 18. The world will pour into the places where the sons of my love stand. For their place in me and the knowledge of my love will allow me to pour myself out in a way. Now get this. God says, it's going to allow me, God, to pour myself out in a way that I am greatly looking forward to. We hardly think about, you know, it says, Jesus said, God has been seeking for those, looking for the day for a people that could worship him in spirit and in truth. We think we're looking forward to the revival. We think we care about those kids in St. Jude's Hospital. God says, I'm looking forward to that day. See, that makes me want to just go pray right now, knowing that he's looking forward to it. He says, I am eager to pour myself out in such a way that miraculous restorations will take place. I am eager to permeate atmospheres with the revelation and presence of my love. I am eager to answer the cry of those who cry out, there must be more to life than this. Well, there is, and we're going to taste of it. Number 19, it is a family and it is a kingdom that you operate in. You are sons and you are kings. Say it with me. I am a son. And I am a king. The authority of a son is the authority of a king. Your faith has everything to do with walking in authority. You cannot walk in what you don't believe in. No shoeboxes for us. You hear me? My flesh belongs in a shoebox. But me, myself, I'm a son of God. I'm a king and a priest because he made me one. I take no backseat to any devil. When I walk in, the devil's the one in trouble. Same with you, amen? If that devil has a name of cancer, cancer's in trouble. All right. He says, the more you believe the truth of who you are in me and who I am in my love and my truth to you, the more you will walk in the truth of who you are. You know, when I read that, I see Jesus again walking right through the wall, walking right over here and going, I want to be believed. Believe what my word says. Number 20. What I say and what I have said is truth in the earth. Now, here we go. My sons will speak out of our fellowship. And the power of my word will be seen in the earth. Glory to God. My word in my sons' mouths will reveal our fellowship. For in our fellowship is the fountain of authority. Have you ever heard that phrase? The fountain of authority. Those who know me shall do great exploits in this hour. That's a quote from Daniel, talking about the end times. How many know we're in, not only in the end times, we're near the end of the end times. And it says, those that know their God shall do exploits. Well, you can't know somebody you don't fellowship with. That's why he's calling us right now into more worship and more prayer and more fasting, more time with him, shutting out the world. Hallelujah. Those who know me shall do great exploits in this hour, and the glory of my life and truth in my sons shall be seen in all the lands. It is a good hour that is at hand. Hey, I'm excited to be living in this generation. I'm glad I wasn't born during the dark ages. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm born now. I'm not worried. I'm only 72. I got lots of years left to walk in this revival. Amen? Amen. My mom keeps telling me, son, you're only 72. Glory to God. Number 21. He says, I am wisdom, and my counsel brings great peace. I love this. And I have an answer for everything. 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 I, wisdom, am reaching out and drawing close those who will hear to receive the counsel of the Father just as the Son received. All that the Son was given by the Father, he gives to the sons, and he gives freely. In this inheritance, in other words, part of your inheritance is my counsel for all things. I give the wisdom of the Father, which was given to the Son, and which the Son gives to you, or to all who will partake through me. That's the Holy Spirit. I am wisdom, and in me are your answers to all things. Try everything that you know, trying to fix problems. You know, my mind works a lot like Alan's. I can think of 1,470 different ways to fix every problem. And not one of them be the mind of God, you know. And after you try everything you know and none of it works, and you go, maybe I should pray. And somebody says, has it come to that? What if we prayed first? Get that wisdom, you know. 21b, I am the source of true wisdom in the earth today, and there is a deep wealth of wisdom to be had in me. I am calling the sons into the rooms of wisdom where our fellowship will bring forth the bounty that is available from me. Sue sent me I have a good wife. I have a great wife. And she reads these articles, and she knows I'm real busy, but she doesn't send me everything. But every now and then she'll find one, and she'll, okay. So when she sends me one, I pay attention. And she sent me one this past week, and I don't really read magazines or any online stuff too much. But this one, and I'm not going to mention the name of the author because you may or may not have a problem with that person. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it was a straight-on word, and the title was something like this: Many Simon the Sorcerers Are Arising in the Land. And it's talking about people who aspire to ministry. They want to be in ministry, and they want to operate in power, but they want it right now, and they don't want to do any mortifying, and they don't want to spend time in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and they just, give me this power and give it to me now. We got to go win the world. And so they're after the power, but not fellowship. And he said, that's the same motivation as Simon the Sorcerer. Give me this power. Here's money. I'll pay for it right now. But that's not the path to power. The path to power is fellowship with the Holy Spirit, which on that path is going to be edification. And on that path is going to be mortification. And there's going to be a conforming. Now, he can use anybody in the gifts. We are not talking about that. You could have been saved 10 minutes ago. You could even be unsaved, and he can use you in the gifts. I did a study one time. You can find all of the gifts of the Spirit except tongues and interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament. God did it through unborn again people. Okay? So the fact they can operate in the gifts does not validate their doctrine. Okay? He's not after that. He's not looking for Simon the sorcerers that can operate for power but still motivated by selfish ambition and greed. No. He wants sons molded in the image of Christ. That's been in fellowship with him where you have the same heartbeat, you have the same motivations, you have the same thoughts, where you literally have the mind of Christ. You know, John Wesley, when he talked about the mind of Christ, he says, you want the definition of sanctification? He said, the definition of sanctification is to have the mind of Christ, and I mean all the mind of Christ. When you think like him, you're sanctified. You don't do sin anymore. I think that's a real good definition. All right. 22a. I'm doing better than last week. I kept saying verses last week. They're not verses. It's just the February letter, item 22a. Okay. He says, when you worship, everyone say worship. So he's talking about worship, right? And pray in the Spirit. Everyone say tongues. When you worship and pray in the Spirit, you are setting yourself a direction. For you cannot worship and pray in the Spirit without setting yourself a direction. I love how Pastor Dave would teach us on this. He says, you may or may not hear a voice. And, you know, so many people they're listening for a voice. They don't hear it, so they miss out on the direction that God is laying in them while they pray in the Spirit. And Dave would say, his direction, his leadership grows like a tree. If you'll give yourself to worship and give yourself to prayer, give yourself to his word, his leadership will grow in you. It'll grow in you. It'll one day become so strong that you'll know what his plan for you is, to the point if you don't do it, at that point it's sin. He says you cannot worship and pray in the Spirit without setting yourself a direction. For when you do these things, what things? Worship and praying in the Spirit. You welcome me to come and to come in my strength and set your direction. That's why Dave called it the transfer of authority. You are yielding the authority that you have on earth when you yield your lips to the Holy Spirit. For Gary, Gary would say it something like this. I have not got a clue what you want me to do, but I do trust the Holy Spirit. So instead of me trying to figure it out and declare it with my lips, I'm going to yield the authority of these lips to the Holy Spirit, because I know as he prays through these lips, he is going to pray your direction for my life. My spirit is in communication. My spirit will get it little by little, and eventually the transfer will be made across to my mind, and I'll know what it is you want me to do. God, that's a pretty good summary right there. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues. I didn't talk myself back into it. Glory to God. Not that I quit, but you know. Man, 22b. For when you worship me, says the Lord, as my sons and daughters, you put yourself in a place with me to where you recognize me as your father, and I recognize you as my sons and my daughters. Think you not that I take great pleasure in answering your prayers and giving you the things that I have to give you? Listen. Take it from a couple of grandparents. You want to make a happy Sue? Just make sure there's some extra money whenever she wants to buy something for Lily or Cole. I mean, on earth there is no greater joy to buy something for them and give it to them and watch their face, you know. Well, if we're like that, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father delight in giving us the Holy Spirit and giving us good gifts? Amen? Okay. Think you not that I take great pleasure in answering your prayers and giving you the things that I have to give you? It is the enemy who is accusing you. I have always been here, and I have always enjoyed giving you the things that you love in the relationship and fellowship that I have with you. You are my sons and daughters. I do not hold back from you, nor do I turn my back on any needs that you have. I am here. So don't be programmed by the enemy. What does that mean? You can be. All you got to do is start walking by sight instead of by faith. And the enemy pretty soon will have you convinced, God turned his back on me. I asked, and I don't see it. Therefore, you're just following fallen human wisdom right there, fallen human logic. He says, be programmed by me and my word and what I have promised you. We might make it. We're on the last page. Hallelujah. We'll see. 23a, for those of you that are following along. Last page, 6, page 6. God does not look at how far you come in your flesh as to how good of a son or daughter you are. He does not look at how much you have overcome as if you are a daughter today and not tomorrow. He only looks, he only looks at it as what it is. It is your flesh. And I get this. And he expects you to overcome it every day. Here we go, John 8. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. The message this morning on righteousness would fit real good right here. He expects you to overcome it every day. He says, let's not waste another day, another moment of acting like we are not in him when we already are. You are not your struggles. That sounds like Alan, doesn't it? No matter how big or small they are, you are not your struggles. You are his child. I love the analogy that I don't remember which preacher it came through. I listened to all of them. You know, when Lily was first born, actually it's kind of a joy to even change the diapers on that newborn baby. A newborn grandbaby. Of course, for the first 2 weeks, God doesn't put any smell in the poop, you know. You're so proud. If you're the one changing the diaper, you call somebody, hey, Lily made a poopy. And they're going, this is the third time you've called me today. I know, but this is a new one. Of course, about 2 weeks later, God puts odor in the poop, you know. Still, it's okay, not quite as enjoyable as it was, but still, you know. But you think it's normal. See, they're... That grandbaby's complete, your delight, your joy, your absolute joy. You don't mind at all changing those diapers. But if you're still doing that when that baby's 40, big problem, success. Big problem. But it doesn't change the fact that that's your son or your grandchild. But they got a problem with the flesh. It's not that you don't love them. It's not that you won't help them. But you're not willing to leave them like they are. Not if you love them. Well, that's the way God is with us. Just because we're struggling doesn't mean he's kicked you to the curb. But he understands we've got to deal with some things here. Okay. So that last sentence, it is your flesh, and he expects you to overcome it every day. You are not your struggles. You are his child. All right. Number 24a. Much training comes from my spirit to teach you and train you in all things so that you might reach the stature of mature sons and daughters in my family. Well, we could go to a verse right there. Grow up into him to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That's his goal for each and every one of us. We grow up into him. Doing my bidding in the earth, in my love and truth, through the power of my life in you and fellowship with my spirit. Pay attention to my word and that which my spirit will speak and has spoken. For my spirit is training you to walk. Here it is. My spirit is training you to walk by my blueprint for your life. See, he doesn't just give you the blueprint. He trains you how to walk by that blueprint for your life. Pay attention to the voice of my spirit and that which he speaks and has spoken concerning my mind for your life. See, Sue and I have words. We talk about them occasionally. We Our problem is not, you know, a lot of people say, I don't have a word. We got almost the opposite problem because we've been here for 20 some odd years. We got almost too many words. No, we don't. I'm just saying, we got a lot of words. And some of them, I mean, quite a few of them, we've walked in, we've possessed that land. You know, we could, yes. But there's some of them, I can't even hardly yet see that land. I mean, it's so far to me, it's so far off, and it's so remote from, you know, from any tangible thing in my life, I can't even hardly, give me the binoculars, honey. I still can't even see that land ahead of us, but he says it's part of our blueprint. But see, we've got to understand, let's read that sentence again. He says, pay attention to the voice of my spirit and that which he speaks and has spoken concerning my mind for your life. For he is giving you, I started one sentence too late. Okay, 24b. Pay attention to my word and that which my spirit will speak and has spoken, for my spirit is training you to walk by my blueprint for your life. Well, I'm just going to make something up. Obviously, he's called Sharon back here to give $10 million into the gospel. Raise your hand, Sharon. I mean, I'm just making that up, but she's in agreement with that, okay? All right? She's a thumbs up, white hanky, we're good, okay? Trouble of it is, I say, Sharon, how are you going to do that? And if she's smart, she'll go, Shandala Baku, Sandale Breto Mari, I worship you, Shandala Baku. Because it's, she doesn't know. But the Holy Spirit not only gives you the blueprint, which a lot of times when you see it, he doesn't even give you all of it at once. It'll scare you to death. No, scare you to life. But then he starts training you. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to know how to walk in it. See? But he is plainly saying here that as you spend time with him in prayer and worship, he is training you to walk by God's blueprint for your life. I'm going to say it this way. We may run over into the confessions. I think it's important we finish this tonight. I'm going to go ahead and say this, which will never happen. But if Sharon, let's say Sharon was faithful, I'm going to get really faithful. She gives God 23 out of 24 hours in prayer and worship for the next rest of her life. If she does not put $10 million into the gospel, she has a right to accuse God. Not one of you. Nobody has the guts. Because, see, that would make him a liar. You can't yield to his spirit and not walk in your blueprint. Unless it's just by rank disobedience. Because he will train you. He'll not only tell you what it is, he will train you how to do it. And then you just do it. That's why I said, God is not going to fail on his side of the equation. I'm pretty sure it's on our side of the equation where the problem is. Okay. Pay attention to the voice of my spirit and that which he speaks and has spoken concerning my mind for your life. For he is giving you the increase you need as equipping for each step. Oh, I love this. See, he does it for each step forward in me. In our journey, we have learned all we need is the next step. I'm at the point now, I don't even want to see the steps beyond there because they'll scare you. All I need to know, I know what I'm doing now. I know this is the step that you called me to. You know, it was scary, but it's comfortable now. You've been walking in it a while. Lord, all I need is the next step. And then once you're there, now I need the next one. I love how he worded that. He is equipping for each step forward in me. That which is written and that which is spoken are of heavenly things, for your life in me is comprised of heaven's materials. And my word and that which my spirit speaks are the substance of those things. It's still his word is the substance. Years ago, he told me, he says, I could put my hand on any chair in here and say, at its core, you can touch it and feel it. This pulpit, I can touch it. And I broke it once, but I can touch it and I can feel it. It's hard. It's acrylic. At its core, It is the Word of God. Because everything that is, even the sand on the beaches that where acrylic eventually, you know, comes from, everything is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Everything that we see and touch and feel, God said and it was. God said and it was. God said and it was. Everything will obey the Word of God because at its core, everything is the Word of God. And all the devil's done is pervert what God did. Re-undo the perversion in the name of Jesus. Man, I'm running over. That which is written and that which is spoken, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the things he speaks, are of heavenly things. For your life in me is comprised of heaven's materials. And my word and that which my spirit speaks are the substance of these things. Then he says it. My words are spirit, and they are life, and they are the building material for all things. Didn't I just say that? Hallelujah. Sustained revival is the fulfilling of blueprints. Man, I may have to put that one on a poster, put it in my bathroom mirror. Who knows, I do that once in a while. I'm trying to get a thought across to my brain. Sustained revival is the fulfilling of blueprints. For this group right here, we're all going to be in the revival. Are we in agreement? Now that means I got a part in the blueprint to fulfill. You got a part to fulfill. You got a part to fulfill. I can't do it without your part. You can't do it without my part. And he's going, sustained revival is the full, how do you put it? Is the, I had it. Sustained revival is the fulfilling of blueprints. All of us doing our part, not just knowing what our blueprint is, but being trained by the Spirit to fulfill it. It is the walk forward into your life in me and my life in you. Now get this. It is getting to know me very, very intimately. Two verys. It's like verily, verily. I mean, it's getting to know me very, very intimately. And you becoming very confident in my presence with you and in you to live your life in me to the fullest. Oh, I love this. I am the architect. My daddy was a builder. Eighth grade education, taught himself how to read blueprints. He could read them better sometimes than the architect. Dad would show the architect who drew the blueprints a problem with the blueprints. You know? But I am the architect who has brought forth all plans so that you might know me and walk in me to the fullest. Number 25. There is a world around you in desperate need of me. This next part. See, that part, no problem. Everybody amens that part. It's this next part. And me in you is their only hope. Boy, we need to get that. Me in you is their only hope. For all of creation is groaning, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be made manifest in the earth. Therefore, taste and see that I am good. Taste and see. How, with all of these that we've read, what's he calling us to do? To taste and see. Worship. Prayer. I want to say it another way. Intimacy. Intimacy. Not spending our time on 5 yoke of oxen. Not spending our time on a piece of ground. I love my wife, but I can't give all my time to my wife. You understand? Not being too busy with the things of this world. Intimacy. For all of creation is groaning, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be made manifest in the earth. Therefore, taste and see that I am good. Taste and see what I have prepared before you. For eye has not seen, boy, not in our generation. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So begin to see the end from the beginning. Now for me, that's the day that we empty out St. Jude's Hospital. For me, that's the day when Homer Betancourt receives his sight. Permanently this time. So many things. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So begin to see the end from the beginning, that I might close the gap, says the Lord. And the last one, he says, I have called you with the purpose of populating the earth again with my sons who walk by the life that I have given them. Boy, it's one of the best summaries of the gospel I ever heard. The purpose of God. Read that sentence again. I have called you with the purpose of populating the earth again with my sons who walk by the life that I have given them. Come, I have so much more for you than you have ever tasted. Come, come unto me. And he ends it with these words, spend that time with me. Well, this same spirit, this same heart, you listen to Bronk, you listen to Dr. Martin, you listen to Alan, you listen to anybody who's in tune with the Spirit right now, it's going to be, we need to worship, we need to pray more than we prayed, we might need to pull away from the table a little. Don't be too busy. How did Dave say it? Cut that extra bedroom off the house. Drive an older car. You've got to have time. You've got to have time for this fellowship. Say it with me. There is no other way. Revival happens as I co-labor with the Holy Spirit. That takes fellowship. There is no other way. I will pray. I will worship. I will fast. And I will be in the Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God.